Welcome everyone to another episode of Superhost Unveiled. Today I have the great pleasure of interviewing Ashley from Peach State Pads, and we talk about her journey at a very young age with her then boyfriend Philip, now husband, on purchasing a duplex and turning it into an Airbnb, and how they became a 9-time Superhost.
Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Superhost Unveiled. Today, we have the great pleasure to interview a fellow superhost, Ashley, down in Atlanta. It's probably a little warmer where you are, but welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
How is the weather down there? It's 38 degrees here.
Oh gosh. Well, actually, so I'm from New York, so I'm kind of used to the cold. My husband Philip is from the South, so he hates the cold, but today it's in the 70s today. It's pretty nice.
Oh, so nice.
But it's one of those where it's, you know, it's freezing in the morning, you bring a big jacket, and then you're sweating by noon.
Yeah.
So we're a little confused down here. We don't have
Well, awesome. All right. Well, it's really exciting, and I appreciate you coming on the episode, you know, the podcast. Why don't you start with telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background, just to get us going?
Yeah. So I am 27 years old. Philip and I were boyfriend and girlfriend, and we were both in corporate jobs. I was 23, 24. He was 25, 26. He basically had this, you know, idea to, you know, get an Airbnb, buy a rental property, do something. Like we didn't live together. We wanted to get a house later on when we were engaged or married or something like that. So it was kind of weird that, you know, he was just this young kid that was like, yeah, I'm just going to buy an investment home, because normally it's something that happens later on in life. And we were both in corporate jobs. He ended up getting it and kind of had a life change. So he quit the job, started doing remodeling, which out of nowhere, like it was just super crazy. And he kind of pushed himself and had to pay the mortgage and had to pay the bills. I was, you know, in my corporate job doing my thing. And at the time it was like, oh, he's doing his thing, I'm doing my thing, you know, whatever. I had no intention of being an Airbnb host, I guess, or doing anything. He bought the house, it finally went through, and he presented me a packet, and it was like, you know, head designer and, you know, property manager kind of thing. And it was, you know, this funny thing at first, it was kind of like a joke. And I ended up furnishing the place and putting it all together, making it look good. It was just very odd, I guess, for some, like, people our age. We ended up getting engaged in 2020. And obviously throughout 2020, it was a nightmare. So we planned like 3 weddings, everything got canceled, reception, we were gonna elope in Hawaii, like it was a whole thing. We ended up eloping this past year in Tybee Island, Georgia, which is like off the coast of Georgia near Savannah. And yeah, now we're married, we live together, and we're a little bit older now. He just turned 29 2 weeks ago. So we're still both under 30. We've been hosting for almost 5 years now, and we're, you know, ready to get everything going with our lives and start everything. So,
yeah, that's, wow. You just, you know, there's a lot to unpack yeah. There. And I think you and I had talked about the FIRE movement. Did we, when we first talked?
The what?
The FIRE movement. Did we talk about that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we can bring that up later. Okay. 'Cause it sounds like that's what you guys are after, but I don't, it's, you know, it's called Financial Independence Retire Early is what it stands
oh,
for.
Oh yes, yes, yes. We did talk about that. Yeah,
yeah, we did. Right. So, mm-hmm. All right. So let's go back to the beginning. Okay. So you guys are dating. Where, and you're both in corporate jobs. Did you meet at that job?
No. So we were both in sales.
Okay.
He was with one company. I was with another.
Okay.
And yeah. I mean, we were both pretty unhappy with our jobs, but it's one of those things where it's like, this is what you're supposed to do. You know, you
yeah.
like, this is, you get a job and you work and, you know,
yeah.
this life, you go to work every day, 40 hours plus a week. And, you know, we weren't really fulfilled. We'd see each other maybe once or twice a month sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Which, yeah, I mean, when you're dating too, and you're in your 20s, it's kind of like, dang, like, is this really how everything's supposed to be? It was that weird, like, you know, transition from high school, college to early adult life. And both of us kind of got into pretty good jobs quickly. And it was just one of those weird transition things.
Yeah.
Life.
So were you in Atlanta at this point, or were you guys in different places, or?
So I worked north of Atlanta, and then he worked in Decatur, which is kind of in, it's in Atlanta, but it's a little outskirt of Atlanta.
Gotcha. Okay. So then how long were you in these two jobs before he comes and says, I want to do this Airbnb thing? Like, how long was that? Was it a year? Was it months?
So he was working almost 5 years at that job. He was pretty, I think he started when he was 21. And then it was not, I mean, a few years in, it was just one of those, like, I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. I definitely want to do something else with my life. Like, this is, he's always been a real entrepreneur. I mean, he started a grocery delivery business when he was really young and was really successful.
Wow. And,
wow. You should have kept that because over yeah. the last year, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was one of those things where he wasn't happy. And I think he was looking for something more, you know, and with me, it was like, okay, I'll find what I'm supposed to do eventually. And the Airbnb just kind of opened up passions and opportunities for us. I mean, he got into remodeling shortly after and was like, I can do this myself. I don't need to hire somebody. I can, you know, redo it and I can make it look good. And on my end, it was more of like, you know, I live with my parents. I would love to tap into kind of like interior design and things like that. You know, I love watching shows and doing yeah. all of that. And I just never had really the opportunity to do it myself. And this was that opportunity to do it. So I started and with the design and kind of the hospitality point of it. And I really, really liked that and making everyone feel welcome and doing things for our guests that, you know, kind of sets us apart. So that was more my lane.
Okay. That's awesome. So he's 5 years in, he comes to you, you guys are dating, not engaged yet quite. And he's like, I'm going to do this Airbnb thing. So did he, over those 5 years, I'm guessing he saved a bunch of money. Like, what was the property? Can you just kind of take us through the property? Like,
yeah.
was it a conventional loan? Was it?
Yeah. So it was pretty funny. Actually, he actually had a relative, that had a duplex and he was a real estate agent, and we went over there for, you know, a Christmas party or something once. And he renovated the whole thing and it was beautiful. It was just pretty far from Atlanta. And he was the one that was actually telling Philip, like, you need to do this. You need to do this. You know, like it's a good side hustle and, you know, you can still keep your job or you can still keep this, you can still do that. You know, it's just extra money. You should do it and I'll help you find a house. So Philip was like, you know, I guess that's a good idea. This was kind of not even a year in the making. It was just a couple of months, to be honest. And I think we went to the Christmas party, obviously, in December. He ended up buying the house in, I think, March or May, like around there. Like it was the spring. So he actually didn't have much saved. And he had his bonus that he got from his job, his annual bonus. He saved everything. And I think he even saved his tax return at the time and put that as a down payment. And that's how he bought it. But it was kind of like scraping everything together that he had. And he took a huge risk and just did it. He looked at a few properties. He ended up buying a duplex, but our duplex is not one that's a two-story. It's a ranch and it's kind of an L shape. So it's actually on two different streets. It has two different addresses. There's kind of like a storage unit in the middle. So, you know, with noise and everything, it's really not a problem. So that's the way that he, you know, found the property, started to tap into this. And when he got it, in my opinion, it wasn't move-in ready. I was like, ew, what the heck? but yeah, of course. But of course, you have to have, you know, this creative imagination, you know, how can I fix this? Or what can we do with this? Or where can we put this? And, you know, what do we need? So as soon as he started, as soon as he got under contract, I was at his house and we had this little notebook and I just started writing everything down that we would need. And I was like, Philip, we need a plan. Like how are you going to do this? And he was like, oh, well, that's what you're for. Like, you know, you do it. I was like, what? You know what I mean? And of course, like, this is a huge accomplishment for someone his age. Like, he was buying a house and, you know, an investment property, and it wasn't necessarily his plan to do it. It was just kind of like, you know, the opportunity arised and he was like, you know what? Yeah, I might as well. Why not? I'll try it. The risk, but if it doesn't work out, we'll sell it. And yeah. I was just along for the ride, you know, I don't.
Yeah. That's really awesome. So the relative invites you both over to this duplex and he's a realtor and he's like, it's a beautiful place and it's whatever, a little bit away from Atlanta. Was he Airbnb-ing this or was he just, did he house hack it? Like,
so
what?
He was on Airbnb.
Okay.
And even though it was pretty far from Atlanta, he still did really well. And that's why he was like, oh, we need to look at properties in Atlanta. And this wasn't him just trying to like sell a house. This was him trying to set Philip up for success, which, sure, you know, of course anybody would appreciate. And it was, you know, kind of like, I was new, I guess, meeting that side of the family. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's cool. You know, didn't think anything of it. And I didn't even think that Philip was really going to buy it. And he ended up, you know, scraping everything together and getting it. So,
wow. Yeah. Cool. That's pretty amazing. So, okay. So then he buys this place, basically dumps the decorating, the decor, I'm guessing he dumped because you have to figure out not only how to set this place up for success, you have to actually learn the whole Airbnb side, which, yes, I feel like Airbnb makes it really easy to, you know, you can basically list a property in 5 minutes, you know, but that does not mean that you're going to be any good at it. You know, it doesn't mean like your property is going to stand out or, you know, just stay, like in our area, I'm sure in Atlanta too, if you do a search on Airbnb, there's, you know, there's 600 houses up here, you know, where we are. And I'm sure there's even probably more where you are. So to get relevance and be on the first page of, or the first couple pages is where you need to be. You know, you had to learn that too, right?
Absolutely. So what we were up against was mainly, at the time, it was mainly luxury apartments that were in Buckhead, which Buckhead is like the nicest part of Atlanta, you know, very like high-end part. So it was one of those like, oh gosh, like how are we gonna, you know, stay competitive and that kind of thing, you know, because our location wasn't, you know, the best and the house wasn't the best. And, you know, we didn't have a ton of different amenities that these other places did. And, you know, so I had to learn how to kind of make it work while I was working my full-time job. And he basically, as soon as he got it, he, you know, did his career change and he started remodeling. So that was the other thing. There was a lot of work. Our house is 93 years old. So yeah, there was a lot of issues that needed to kind of be addressed before we could even host. So even, I mean, getting everything, furnishing the place, of course you're on a budget. So, you know, it was like, oh, what, how can I do that and find these good deals and do this? I mean, again, this was 5 years ago. It was like, I don't know how to do all, you know what I mean? Like, it was one of those, like, do I use Amazon? Where does it go? Does it go to my parents' house? We can't, you know, I can't go to Atlanta every single day. I have to go to work.
Right.
Or, you know, packages and things like that. So, and then with couches and this and that, I mean, we both had like little cars, you know? So it's like, how do we get this down there? How do we do this? How do we do that? So it was definitely kind of a struggle just to get it up and running. Even with, I mean, finding the decor and finding all the furniture and everything else, it was just kind of like, how do we do this? I mean, we had to do it little by little, obviously, just until we got everything going. And it took probably a few months before we started hosting. The welcome book that I made took almost 8 hours to do. Wow. Because I wanted to be so detailed. I wanted to make sure that, I mean, we've been at Airbnbs before, so I was, you know, thinking like, what in that place did I love? What in that place did I need? What in that place, you know, didn't they have that I want to? And now there's so many resources. I mean, you can go on Pinterest, you can go on Etsy, you can go everywhere. And there's all these lists and packets and, you know, templates for welcome books. Like back then there wasn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was kind of in the dark starting from scratch and I figured it out, but it was kind of a learning curve.
Yeah. I can't imagine. So where, Philip, where was Philip like living? Like when this, so he buys this duplex, mm-hmm. closes on it, then quits, right? That's pretty much how it went.
Basically, he had another job set up and it was another sales job. It apparently conflicted with a non-compete that he apparently signed, but he didn't know. Gosh. So the new job offer, you know, they retracted their offer and he was like, oh my gosh, like I just got this house. I have to furnish it. I have to do this. I have to do that. Like, what am I supposed to do? He had a friend that owned a flooring business and he was like, hey man, like I know you're out of work. Do you want to help me? And Philip was like, well, I don't know what to do, but yeah, you know, if you'll teach me. So, you know, he went to work every single day. He worked, I think 9, 10, 12 hours sometimes and wow. laying floors and he was exhausted. And he was like, well, you have to pay the bills. Like you have to do anything, you know, just to get yourself set up. And this is what I have to do. It is what it is, you know, wow. But he was learning so much and he really enjoyed it. And then, you know, a month or two in, he was like, you know what, I'm going to do this myself. I can be the owner, you know, I got this. And he ended up making his business, which today it's called Phil's Remodeling, but back then it was called Phil's Flooring. He has like 300,000 followers on TikTok and a few thousand on Instagram. He's, you know, really successful in the Atlanta area. So it turned out where it was obviously a good thing that he started, you know, didn't get this other job, but it was definitely a struggle. Yeah. So it was a little difficult at first.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing though. Like the courage to do, you know.
Yeah.
Good thing is you guys were young, so you can bounce back, you know.
Right. But he lived with his mom as well, and our parents' houses were only 10, 15 minutes away.
Gotcha.
But after I worked about 15, 20 minutes away from my parents' house, and then he was just working everywhere. So I really wouldn't even see him. You know, he couldn't, it's not like he could work on the Airbnb all day, every day. It was like, no, he actually has to go and work physically, you know, learn what he's doing. And then he eventually did his own thing. But during all of that, I actually got laid off from my job. So then I was like, oh, well, I have time. So, you know, I can kind of go and furnish it. But again, it was like, I'm waiting on money from him or, you know, I'm waiting on stuff and I don't know how I'm supposed to get it down there. And, you know, it was just, it was a little bit of a mess, but we ended up getting it together. So,
you guys focused on one side, I'm guessing.
We did. So we focused on, I call it, so there's like side A, side B. Side B is relatively new. We've been renting that side for a year. Side A, we've been renting for almost four years now. So that one had less work that needed to be done. So we just kind of, you know, decorated it, furnished it, sure, made it look good. And, you know, we did little stuff here and there. He obviously did some flooring, and we recently this past year just updated the bathroom. So it has a full, it was fully gutted, and, you know, tile, and it's beautiful, but it definitely doesn't match the house yet. So
yeah,
we're working on the kitchen next, I think.
Gotcha. That's awesome. At the beginning, when we started talking, you said that he handed you a packet. Can you take us through that? Because it was like, basically, he was basically saying, you're going to be the designer, right?
Yeah.
What was the packet all about? What did it say? What was in there?
So we're both pretty creative. So it's kind of funny when he makes things. And I mean, he included like clip art of like Bob the Builder or something, you know, and it was like, this is me and this is you and this is your, you know, Peach State pad, like you're the head designer, you're the property manager, you're this, you're that, like this is going to be your project. And it basically gave me the home inspection from his like home inspector, and like it was basically everything that's wrong with the house and what needs to be fixed. And then, you know, and I was like, okay, like what is this, you know? And but he made this whole thing. I mean, it was really cute, and it was it was just like, all right, this is your duty, you know, like you don't have a job, like this is gonna be your job.
Yeah.
And it's not, obviously I wasn't getting like paid for it. I was just doing it because I was like, oh, it's my boyfriend's Airbnb, you know? And I was so excited for him. And I was really supportive throughout all of it. Like there wasn't really doubt in my mind that this wouldn't work out. But then again, looking back, it was like, wow, he put in his entire life savings into this almost 100-year-old house. Like this could have gotten really bad, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. All right. So you take 2 months, you get this side ready to go. You furnish it, you do all you got to do. You 8 hours on a home book. There's really no help back then. So
right.
You then list it on Airbnb, right? Mm-hmm. And hit the publish button. What happens next?
It was, I think, almost midnight when I was doing it, because I was just so, I was trying to be as detailed as possible, and I was kind of nervous, and I finally did it, and I was just so excited. Within probably a couple of days, we got bookings immediately. And I mean, our first guests were from California, and I was like, they're traveling all the way from the other side of the country to stay at our listing. Like that is so cool, you know?
Yeah.
It was really exciting. And at the time it was just, you know, Philip and I. So as soon as they left, I cleaned it, and I was like, okay, I need to learn how to clean it and take care of it, because I feel like that's really important. How can I hire somebody to do it if I don't know how? And then sure. Two, it was like, you know, I want to make sure that everything is the way that I want it to be. And, you know, everybody has a good experience. And two, we just started making money. So you're not really going to make anything if you're giving it away, basically, to, you know, clean it. So yeah, it was pretty quickly we got booked. Within a month, we became Airbnb Plus, which at the time we had no idea what that was. So we were just kind of like, okay, like, thanks. And then, but you know, we started hosting in the middle of the quarter. So we didn't have the criteria or enough criteria, I guess, or enough stays,
sure,
to meet the criteria for Superhost. So we actually got Plus before we got Superhost, but Superhost was really like our goal.
Take us through the process of back then becoming Plus. Like, what did you guys have to do for that?
So they emailed us saying that, you know, they liked the design of the house and, you know, if we were interested in Airbnb Plus. So I kind of looked it up and I was like, just looking through everything. And I was like, all of these homes are insanely beautiful and they're luxury. You know, we have a little old bungalow in Atlanta. Like, I'm surprised that we were even invited to this, you know? And so what it is they gave us a list of everything that we needed to have in our rental in order to be considered plus. So most everything I did have, the only things that I did not have were luggage racks. And we had to get something for, you know, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, just so they're always there. So I just got something that can, you know, attach to the shower and, you know, like at a hotel where you have the three bottles and that kind of thing. Anyway, so we got the list, we got whatever we needed. We had somebody come out from Airbnb to vet the place and do the photos. The photos, I guess, didn't come out the way that they wanted to the first time. So then they had to schedule somebody else to come out. And she ended up doing it. And yeah, we got approved after like a month or two of the process. So then we became Airbnb Plus. A month or two later, we became Superhost.
So do you think for anyone listening that maybe, because I actually never even thought about going plus. They don't really push it. I don't know if they were pushing it back then.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it's been shut down due to COVID.
Yeah.
They can't really have people coming out and doing all that.
Do you think it benefited you back then?
We're really not even sure. Apparently there is, you know, like Superhost, you have your search results.
Yeah.
You know, they say that they have that for plus. Lately, I haven't seen it, but again, I don't know if that's due to COVID. They're saying that you would make way more money if you're plus. Again, we didn't really see any difference because our price was so different back then. And even now, we're still plus, but I feel like our other side does way better.
Yeah.
So I don't really know if it's a benefit maybe to, you know, really high-end luxury homes, but for us, we didn't really see, you know, too much of a difference.
Yeah. Gotcha. Let's talk about hospitality a little bit. Obviously, you know, you're a nine and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're a 9-time Superhost, correct?
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You never missed, right? Once you became it, you never.
No.
Right.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I was reading something that like less than, I don't know, some low number, 5% or less are Superhosts, which
really
kind of hard to believe, but
right.
I'm gonna go with it and feel good about myself. So I'm raising my coffee cup to you. So let's talk about hospitality a little bit. Like, what's your, you know, you have to be good at it. I think it sounds like it's a passion of yours. Can you just kind of talk about what it means to you?
Yeah. So that was something that has kind of always come naturally to me. I think I worked at P.F. Chang's actually for 5 years. So I was like one of the head hostesses there for a while. I was a trainer. So it was that, I think, kind of set me up really well with greeting people and making them feel welcome and talking to people. And, you know, that was my right after high school job, like in college, and that, you know, time in my life. So it was literally right before I got my corporate job. And I loved it. I made really good friends and, you know, it was fun. I loved going to work. I don't think I would work like in a restaurant, but I liked that industry. I love, you know, events and holidays and, you know, decorating, and I love all of that. So I mean, I grew up with my mom decorating our house for Christmas and this and that, you know, I like that part of it. And we always had big family gatherings and love when people come over and have parties. And I love that. So this was something that just kind of came naturally. I want everyone to feel welcome. whether they come to my house, whether they come to my rentals, like I, you know, I feel like that's super important for an Airbnb. You can go to an Airbnb and you can tell when it's managed by a person or a rental company. So I think it kind of makes us stand out a little bit more instead of, you know, just an automated message. And
yeah,
just, you know, it feels more personal. You want to know why they're in town. I mean, we have one guest that she used to come, I guess, every month. She owned a coffee company and she would, you know, we'd leave her stuff and, you know, different things and for Christmas or gifts and things like that, wine. And, you know, wow. Or, you know, I like to know if our guests are celebrating something, we'll leave banners on the fireplace for them, like happy birthday or like, you know, congratulations, like, you know, bachelorettes, like bride to be, things like that. I do try to stand out, I think, a little more with things. I mean, for all of October, we gave our guests little goodie bags with candy in it. So I think it's just something that you either have or you don't, especially with hosting. So,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of a hit or miss. And I feel like, I don't know if everybody wants to put in the effort to make everyone feel really welcomed. I mean, with our process, we message everybody. I think communication is super important with, it goes kind of hand in hand with hospitality. So you need to make sure that you're communicating everything with everyone, beforehand and, you know why they're in town, you know, if they need anything, any recommendations, it's here, that, you know, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with everything. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things on my outline to ask you about is communication, because in one of the reviews, there's a couple of things in the reviews that we'll talk about, but one of them was that you did such a great job with communication. So it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're doing this all without automation. Is that true?
Yes. So the only thing that I will schedule, I guess, so now we can schedule messages on the Airbnb app, but I do welcome messages once they are booked. And then, you know, I make sure I give them the check-in information the day before, day of. If I see that they're kind of more needy, I'll send them a message the night before checkout. And then we do a checkout message. So the checkout message I have scheduled because it doesn't really change, sure. But you know, I have, you know, it's not really automated. I don't have a software that we use to kind of keep up with it. I just check it and I have the outlines saved.
Okay. So when someone books, it doesn't automatically, it doesn't generate an automatic message to them, but you have the outline saved. So you just go in there and send it to them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's really interesting because I've never done it that way.
I've heard different things. I mean, if you obviously have so many properties and manage different things, so you know, that would make your life 10 times easier. With me, I'm only managing two.
Yeah. So
I like to kind of, you know, make sure that everything is good. Like I want to see what they're in town for and I kind of want to know, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And yeah. At the beginning when we only had one, I still did, and I'm not saying I'm better or mm-hmm. anything like that. I just listened to so many podcasts and YouTube videos mm-hmm. that I was like, I want to automate it so I never right. miss anything. Yeah. So I scripted messages to kind of not, like most people don't realize they're automated, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to know as a listener that you there's no one right way. It's what works right. best for you.
Yeah.
And the key takeaway for me listening to you on this piece is the fact that you I have my dogs and my wife just got back from her ride. They always bark in an episode, so it's like it has to happen.
Their parents, yeah.
they were captivated by my wood stove, but now they jumped up. But you know, one of the key takeaways I think here is that you really are super focused on what the guest is coming to town for. And you know, to me that can be done the way you're doing it or the way I'm doing it, you know, because most guests will, you know, you can prompt that in a message, right? And you can say, are you coming for a bachelorette party or whatever, you know? So, are you, you know, I love what you said about capturing, you really kind of created a regular, you know, if we go back to your restaurant, I'm a restaurant person myself. That was my career. My wife and I met at the restaurant, and been married ever since. So, it's amazing the skills you learn from that job, you know, especially at a PF Chang's where, you know, it's a little, you know, it's a little higher end, you know, chain restaurant, but they have really good training there. Right. So,
Absolutely. Yeah. We had to undergo, you know, I was a trainer. You had to go through training to be a trainer. It was a whole thing, but I absolutely think everybody needs to work in a restaurant at least once in their life just to learn common decency. And you know, I think I learned so much throughout all of that. And I think it kind of opened me up to, you know, even because I was like, oh, I'm never going to work in a restaurant. Like I could never be a manager. I can never do this. Like, you know, dealing with mad people and, you know, angry people, I guess, and problems all the time in the kitchen and this and that, like, I could never do that. And then it was like, you know, I go into another part of hospitality. I was like, wow, you know, because my job was not hospitality at all when I left. I was in sales. So, and really my, you know, more passionate, something that I just kind of had on the side was social media and marketing. That was, you know, something that I love and I still do. So it was like, I had this, you know, sales business marketing mind. And then I also have this hospitality side, which I know you said that you automate your stuff. I think the only reason why I know that I'm being, you know, hosted by like a rental company and it's automated messages is only because I'm on the other side. I think that normal guests would never realize that it would be, you know, like the only thing that different that I do is I add in their name. That's literally it. So
yeah, which with
either
with
way,
our,
I feel like,
our software, allows the name to be put in there automatically.
Right.
So, but yeah, no, good stuff. So, one of your, reviews, and I want to talk about social media too, but I want to talk about this first. It says, and this is a quote, the hosts are geniuses when it comes to activities in the house. Can you tell us like what that means? Cause I have no, I don't know.
I know it sounds a little weird at first. So this is in that particular guest stayed in our side B, which is our newly renovated. I call it like the dark side because we have one side that's more like farmhouse, like local and more comfy, cozy, homey. That's side A. And then on side B, it's super modern and dark and moody and eclectic. So they actually stayed on our side B. And in that one, we have a map that has push pins and it has a little note that says like, you know, put the pin where you're from. So I have kind of more interactive things.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah. It's a, And it was awesome. I mean, I had to get more push pins because we were out because there was so many, I did not expect so many people to do it. And it was full and everybody, I mean, they're from all different parts of the world. It's amazing to see like where, you know, people are coming from.
Where'd you get that idea from? Did you steal it or did you create it yourself?
So I actually saw the map at Target and it was like for an office, it was like office decor. But I guess it was like for the individual person, like, oh, where have you gone?
Yeah.
You know, and put a push pin there.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was like, I have seen that.
I was like, I'm going to put this in the Airbnb. That's pretty cool. And people did it. I have another little like frame thing and it has a, bottle opener and you put the beer cap in and it's a little game. And then it falls within a category, like take a shot, have another one, this, that, whatever, cheers. Yeah. It's like a little bottle opener game. So I have that. And then, this was our last kind of interactive part of it is, when we were renovating it, the house didn't have the breaker box in it. It was on another side. So Philip actually opened up a little kind of like nook that had to have the breaker box, but it's in a bedroom and, you know, the closet has a door. The nook doesn't have a door. And I was like, ew, I hate this empty space. Like, what are we going to do with this? Like, I can't just leave it open. You know what I mean? I was like, this is kind of creepy just to have this little closet area for, you know, a breaker box. So I ended up getting a hedge wall, which is just like a greenery wall. And I got a sign, a wood sign from Etsy that says Peach State Pad. And I hung it up on the greenery wall. We got a chair at a garage sale, like one of those boho kind of bamboo chairs, and a, like this huge light, kind of like a ring light, but it's not a ring light. It's just a studio light. And we put it in there and it, I made it a photo booth.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah. One of our guests called it the confession room.
Oh my gosh.
You know, when they do like the confessions or, you know, yeah, that on TV shows, I was like, oh gosh.
That is funny. So that's awesome. Take
pictures there, videos, and you know, it's pretty fun.
That's awesome. Awesome. Okay. So that's great. Great stuff. And I think, you know, I don't know, you're triggering some thoughts in my head. I'm like,
I know, you're like, what can I do?
Yeah, like, what can I do? And damn, are we boring? So
no.
Let's talk about the 9-time superhost and getting superhost. Was that when you started? It sounds like you were conscious of becoming that.
Yes.
Did you do anything specifically to help get you there? Besides, obviously, you said you cleaned it at the beginning and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, that was more me, I think. I mean, I wanted to make sure that we hit all of the requirements for it. The only thing that we didn't hit the first, I think, time, you know, like when we first listed, was we had to have a minimum of like 10 stays or something. Yeah. And we were at like 5 because it was, you know, only like not even a month yet. Gotcha. So we didn't get it for that quarter, but that was definitely one of my goals, is to get it, you know, as soon as possible. When we first started, we were aware of it. We didn't really know if it made a difference or not. So it was kind of like, oh, you get priority support and you get, you know, this search thing. And we were like, okay, like, what does that really mean? You know? Sure. But yeah, I mean, overall, I feel like it's a big accomplishment for us because I really did want it, and keeping it this entire time was, I mean, throughout a pandemic where you were barely booked, it was pretty, that was really what we were worried about. But they changed the criteria obviously during that time. So
yeah, which was really awesome of them. So
yeah, a lot of people would have lost it otherwise, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the pandemic, because I really have no idea how it affected you, but you're in such a different market than us. So in our market, no one flies here. There's not even an airport to fly into. Mm-hmm. But in Atlanta, I've been to Atlanta many times, and it is mostly you fly to it, I would think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So did you guys have to shut down for quite a while, or?
So we were usually booked like a few months out sometimes, not completely booked, but we had reservations, you know, from, I think, until May of 2020, from like they started booking like January. So I had it originally, I had like a 6-month booking window. I ended up changing it to 3 because I was like, oh gosh, like I don't know what's gonna happen, you know. We had probably 1 stay each month, and it was just kind of like, if they want to come, they can come, because no one's been there.
Yeah,
you know? And we didn't really know much about it. So it was okay. We had, you know, obviously some cancellations and stuff, but it didn't really affect us too much because we were the first state, I guess, to kind of open. So we were back and booked pretty quickly. I mean, from March to May, we had maybe 1 or 2 reservations. And then after May, it was like every weekend, because we were, I think people that were in states that were still shut down were like, ooh, let's go to Atlanta because they're open. We can go party. And, you know, we have this and that. I mean, we had literally the worst guests ever, like within that, like within the pandemic. They messed up so many different things. Like,
oh no.
I think they were just like sick and tired of being at home, and they came here and just,
yeah,
you know, partied and sure. went out, and you know, it was just, it was kind of annoying. But we ended up kind of after all of that, because I was like, this is getting to be ridiculous. I mean, every weekend it was something, and some of them would hide us, some of them would tell us, and it was just, we were kind of like wasting money at that too. And so yeah, we were just kind of over it. We ended up raising our prices to kind of compensate some things and get, you know, not just kids that want to get drunk and
yeah.
ruin everything. So
yeah, you know, we found that happened to us too. And it was almost like we, you know, someone, I don't know who said it, but someone said it. It was like, you know, someone was on a Navy ship for, you know, for their tour of duty for, you know, 8 months straight. And then they got in the ship, you know, the ship came into harbor and they all came to to visit, and they had all this pent up, like,
gosh, yeah, that's exactly what it was for us, at least. I mean, I was like, okay, people are waiting months and months to go out and party. I mean, even to go to a restaurant, like we were, everything was open here.
Yeah.
You know, so people were like, ooh, we're going there. I mean, we've not, after May of last year, we were probably more busy than what we have ever been. Because at first, when we started hosting, it was mainly like locals that wanted like a staycation, or, you know, I want to, you know, hang out for my birthday or this or that, you know, we're going to go out for dinner. This, every single weekend, people were coming from all different states. So it was pretty cool. I was like, wow, we're getting so many, you know, people from other places and,
yeah,
that's, you know, cool. whatever. But then it was like, okay, they don't know how to act. So
yeah,
like at least try and be respectful, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I know. It's so, did you have, and what do you do now? Do you gap days in between, or you do same day turnovers?
No, we do. Yes, we can do same day turnovers. It's not really common all the time. We're not, I mean, it's one of those where sometimes we're booked during the week, sometimes we're not.
Yeah.
So, but usually every single weekend we are. So if there's a, you know, same day, it might be like a Friday.
Yeah, but gotcha. So let's talk about social media a little bit. I know, you know, I found you through Instagram, and I know you talked about Phillip's TikTok, 300,000 followers. Talk through that a little bit. Like, what are you on? Are you on more than Instagram and TikTok, or?
So Phillip, well, okay, when we got the Airbnb, Phillip was just starting out his business. So I was like, hey, I was like, why don't we make an Instagram for it? Like, that would be really cool. You know, we each had our own individual Instagrams, but I was like, you can make like a business one and just show off your work, you know, your flooring and that kind of thing. And he was like, okay. And I was like, just send me pictures all the time. So he would send me pictures, I would post them, and with these like cheesy captions, whatever. And then, you know, we're decorating and doing this, and I was like, hey, I was like, we should make an Airbnb for the or make a Instagram for the Airbnb. And he was like, okay, whatever, like, I'm not gonna run it, you do it, like, I'm busy, you know. And I was like, okay, because again, I didn't have a job. So I just had all the time in the world to do this stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool, like, follow Peach State Pad, you know, and whatever. And it was, I did not realize like that other rental properties had Airbnbs. So, and I wanted to keep it separate from like my personal one. And Phillip obviously was like, I don't have time for this. Like, if you want it, you do it. And I was like, okay. So I would just show the place. I would show the decor. I would show, you know, gifts that we left for our guests. I would show me decorating or show me cleaning, things that are going on in Atlanta, you know, if people want to visit that weekend or whatever. And, that's kind of what started it. It was just kind of for fun. And then there was this whole like host community where other people, you know, cabins and beach houses and, you know, places in different countries, they all had Instagrams. And I was like, this is so cool. I'm just going to follow everybody. So I started just following a ton of people. And, they, you know, some follow me back, or sometimes we'll talk, like they'll DM me and stuff. And
yeah,
I thought that was so cool. I was like, wow, like this is a whole community that I had no idea about. And, you know, it was, that's really how it started.
Now, are you on Etsy or no?
Yes. So I actually had my Etsy store since I was in high school, but I did something else back in the day. It was, I used to actually bling things. So I would hand place rhinestones on phone cases and
gotcha.
just custom like rhinestone work. And then I kind of shut it down for a couple of years. I just felt uninspired and it was just too demanding. It felt more like a job than
you
know, a hobby, I guess. And it wasn't really fun and it was really time consuming. So I was like, you know what? Like, I don't have time for this anymore. I'm, you know, this was when I was at Chang's and I was like, I'm working, I'm in school. Like, I can't. So, I ended up just shutting it down for a couple years. And then in 2020, the beginning of 2020, actually, I was like, you know what? I have the time now. I'm going to get back into, you know, DIY stuff. And I started doing kind of like home decor. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to put this in the Airbnb because it looks so cute and it matches. And then if people ask, I'll just tell them, you know, oh, it's on my Etsy. Like, I made it. Sure. So that's kind of how that happened. And then recently, more recently, not really recently, I started doing like short-term rental signs, and I make welcome books for people. So I kind of look at their, you know, property and I'll do all of that. So that's something to do.
Very cool. Like, so my wife just bought signs for the first property that we bought up here. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what they say, but they're cool. About flushing stuff down toilets because we have
we're on
septic up here.
Yes, so. It's so annoying. I mean, there was if I can tell you how many times we've had issues. We had to replace our entire plumbing system. Earlier this year. Yeah, I mean, it was just like. I mean, granted, this is a 100-year-old house, so, you know, it is what it is, but we had cast iron pipes and it was just like a nightmare. I mean, thousands of dollars later. That's the other thing with hosting. It's like, you know, you kind of have to have emergency money because if a guest does something that just messes up everything and you have to get it fixed, you know, it's like, but yeah, that's one of the signs. And then also we always get people, I mean, obviously they come to Atlanta to party. So, you know, they're drunk and just take off their makeup with whatever, the sheets, the towels. Yeah. And it was just like staying, like, I mean, I've been through so many different, like trying to get all these stains out. I have so many linens that were just ruined
because
of this. So we ended up getting like black makeup towels. We have a sign that says, use black towels for makeup, you know, obviously it's cute, whatever, it's on my Etsy, but I'm like, you know, hopefully maybe this will help other people. I mean, people still don't listen. So
yeah,
at this point it's just kind of whatever, but I did find, so then our newest social media is TikTok. I started a TikTok for our Airbnb, because Philip did so well on TikTok. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's, I guess, like the new social media, like let's jump on that. So we have a TikTok. It's just me being like silly. And sometimes I'll do like host hacks. So one of them with the linens and stuff that get ruined. I mean, a lot of these stains I can't get out. So I ended up donating them to our local animal shelter. Oh my gosh, they're so happy with it. And, you know, I'm happy that somebody gets to use it because we can't, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great idea. Well, that's so... Are you making any income from any of these little side hacks? Is that 300,000 follower Philip TikTok channel? Are you monetizing that or no?
Yeah, he does like collaborations with different brands, and
gotcha.
That's, a lot of his business comes from that, believe it or not. You know, like at first it was, again, one of those things that I was like, Philip, like make a TikTok. Like, I think we should do this, or, you know, show what you do at work. I feel like that'd be really cool. And he was like, okay, if you run it, like, I'm not going to do it. You know, again, yeah. He's like, I'm busy. So he's, you know, he was like doing something, and then one video went viral, and we obviously didn't expect it. And we were like, oh my gosh, look. And then his following just kept growing and growing and growing. He kind of plateaued for a little bit. And I mean, all he does is just show what he does at his jobs, you know, and yeah. It's like people, I think it's one of those like oddly satisfying kind of things. So a lot of people like to see it and like the transformations, and it's really cool to watch. So he definitely profits from TikTok. His Instagram now is like at 3K. So, you know, that's, people find him through that as well for jobs and things. So I wouldn't say that he gets like, you know, necessarily paid directly from Instagram. Like, it's not his job, right. But it definitely is cool to do collaborations with different brands. And a lot of his clients will find him through Instagram.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So who cleans your house now?
So we have a cleaning crew that comes, okay. And they've been with us for over a year. It's called She's Got It Made. It's super cute. And they have a few girls that work with, they do short-term rentals and everything. So they're really, really, you know, good with putting things where they're supposed to be and, you know, resetting everything for us. So we really, really appreciate that and like them a lot. So
did you find them like right off the go, or like how long did you clean it for?
So I cleaned it for a couple of months, probably around 6 months. Cause again, I wasn't working.
Yeah.
But mind you, I live almost an hour away from our rental.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, is this worth it? Like, I'm sitting in Atlanta traffic. I don't know if you guys know about that, but it's
a nightmare.
A nightmare. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I don't really want to be down here all the time and cleaning, and, you know, just the drive is like ridiculous. So a few months in, we ended up finding someone to clean it. And then Philip actually, him, like, you know, in between jobs, he was going there a lot because he was working on the other side. So he was like, I'll just clean it. So him and, you know, whoever was working with him, one of his friends, they cleaned it for almost a year and after every guest, and they were really good at it. So it was kind of funny. Yeah. I was like, okay, like, yes, like now we're both doing something, you know? And, then we found Dee Dee. So we've had her for a little over a year now.
So does she get do you give her the entire cleaning fee, or are you able to make a little money in there?
No, I'm pretty sure we give her the entire cleaning fee. Cause that was the other thing. Like, ours is 2 bedrooms, 1 bath in each unit. Yeah. So not very big, and you know, there's only so much you can clean. And then two, people, because it's kind of small, people don't want to pay a ton, like, you know, a nightly price for the cleaning fee.
Yeah.
I would understand if it's like a beach house and you're dealing with sand and that kind of thing, but
yeah,
you're not. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to tack on anything extra. I feel like we do pretty okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, we'll just, you know, do it like that.
So she takes care of linens too, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah. We have a washer and dryer that's in our like storage unit. So it's not accessible for guests, only because we don't, like, we can't open that up for guests, since that's where all of our supplies are.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do everything.
Gotcha. And how many sets of linens do you have for the property?
So let me see. I have at least 6 because I don't know their schedule. So sometimes if they're like, you know, they have other properties that they clean as well. So I want to make it easy for them. I have everything in bins. So I have towels in bins. I have linens in bins. I have, you know, everything separated for them. I have a checklist for them. I'm a Virgo, so I'm like extremely organized and really thorough. I want to make sure to make their job easy too. But yeah, I have everything super organized. I don't know whether or not they have the time to wash every single thing every single time. So I want to make sure that they have like a backup just in case.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Besides Airbnb, are you guys on Vrbo or anywhere else?
No. At first I kind of looked into it. I liked Airbnb's policies a little bit better, but I know guest wise, I've heard, we just went to Miami last week and I did VRBO, and the host, I talked to the host and she said that they get better clientele from VRBO than they do with Airbnb. So they like that better. And that's like all they list on. So, but Originally when I looked, it was more of like, I liked Airbnb's policies. They kind of had more incentives, I guess, for the hosts, like more protection. With that. So that's why we just did Airbnb. VRBO is not really as popular for like a city house, I guess, in Atlanta. It's better for cabins and things in North Georgia.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, we do both. Yeah, we do both with Vrbo and Airbnb. And I would say your comment about better clientele guests, I think you're right. They are better. I think, you know, they have the $1 million host guarantee or liability insurance or whatever. What's amazing to me is just how clunky their website is as a host.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of scams from them, which is amazing too, because I get very little from Airbnb. Yeah. I don't think I've ever really had one, but it's almost like a weekly thing, you know, like I guess you can just, you know, we'll mail you a check or my company will pay it, you know.
Yeah,
I don't get any of that on Airbnb. So I don't know why they can't fix that, but it's really frustrating. If you're listening to this podcast, Vrbo, please fix that. So you self-manage it though, manage the cleaning, manage just all that stuff. And do you recommend that for people? Obviously, you guys, have you ever thought about a property management company or?
So I do recommend it for everyone to at least try it. I think if you have the overhead where you can hire property managers and still make money, then by all means, outsource, make your life easier. I get it. For ours, like ours in particular, only because it's a weird kind of more unique property. There's no way that we would make much
from
it, you know? So for us, it wouldn't be worth it. I think it kind of depends on location and your property and, kind of see what's best for you and your brand.
Yeah. And I would also probably just piggyback on that and just say, you know, your passion is hospitality. Your passion is the guest experience, you know? So if you're a listener, and that's not your passion. Like I have my two daughters work with us and one, I wouldn't say loves the guest, but she came from a restaurant background too. And is very compassionate and patient. And she handles all of our communications where my other daughter, like it was Can't like, yeah, it was terrible. She like, she would like, get me away from guests. I don't want to talk to anyone. And if that's you, listener, then hire someone else. It doesn't mean you have to go to a property manager either. It just means maybe you find a co-host and you work out a little side deal for them that can handle your communication side, you know? So, all right, well, we're almost at the hour mark, which is crazy because I feel like we've only been talking for 5 minutes. what are you and Philip's future goals? Like, do you want to buy another Airbnb or?
We want at least 3 to 5 properties. I would love like different areas, like, you know, a cabin or a beach house or just something so they're a little more unique and, you know, we can kind of go visit them.
Yeah.
And, I think that would really be fun. I would still like to self-manage them, but definitely I feel like we would still optimize and improve like the uniqueness of each one. Like it would be cool to go in and, you know, hey, like let's do an accent wall, let's do this, and just constantly make it, you know, awesome for guests and for even for our use, you know?
So you guys actively, like, where are you going to, so you said cabin, you said beach house. So is there,
so,
like, I want this one next, or
want a cabin next for sure.
So where would a cabin be for you guys?
In North Georgia.
North
Georgia. Probably, yeah. I think maybe like Blue Ridge or LJ, like something a little further north, because then our Airbnbs will only be 2 hours away from each other. We'll have a city house. We'll have, you know, kind of a little mountain getaway. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. We did the same thing that you're about to do. You know, we bought a property in the Outer Banks, and in North Carolina. And, what's exciting for us is that if you're a listener, you've heard this in our previous episodes, is that we've never walked into it yet. So we bought it sight unseen, and November 28th, we're actually driving down. So we're taking the dogs. We have two dogs. We're taking our two cats, and we're packing everyone in the 4Runner, and we're driving there. So it's about a 15-hour drive. So we can't fly with dogs and cats, and we really want to bring our animals. So we're going to stay for 2 weeks. And then, we've been renting it out since we bought it, because it was under an agreement. And in North Carolina, you have to honor the agreement for 6 months. So my plan was to spend the whole month of March down there. So March 1st, we will, hopefully, if everything goes well, we will end up spending that whole month on the Outer Banks, where it won't be 80, but it won't be 20 below either.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. So let's circle back before I let you go. And I really appreciate you being on. I think it's been a great episode. Let's circle back to the financial independence, retire early thing that we talked about briefly. I know that, is that something you guys are pursuing, or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this right now is more of like a side hustle for us. Eventually I'd love for it to kind of take over our full-time, you know, income, but it's nice to kind of not, it's a passive income. So it's nice to have something working for you.
Yeah.
You know, and us being young, when we first started, I didn't know any hosts that were my age. I mean, everybody was pretty much retired and my parents' age. And it was like, oh gosh, like, what am I getting myself into? I have nobody to really talk to about this, you know? And of course, like, neither of our parents knew what to do. Like, they were just kind of like, okay, like, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, any host that we've been at on vacation or anything, they've always been really, like, much older than us, which it was like one of those, like, you know, they always say, you know, the older you are, the wiser you are. So it was like, oh gosh, like, did we make a mistake, or, you know, that kind of thing. He was fine with the risk, and he wanted to do it. So I was just kind of along for the ride. I think this will be something that we're really thankful for once we're older and, you know, we can retire early. That would be awesome. And especially because Philip works physically every single day, this would definitely be something that would be really beneficial to our family.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I would love to, like, maybe have you guys come back on, and maybe you can talk Philip into coming on the next episode. We can talk maybe a little bit more about FIRE, because I think I think it's an important thing to introduce on our podcast, because you know, a lot of people don't think about it, and the way you're going about it by buying properties, I think, is different than, you know, a lot of the FIRE movement. They buy an index fund. A Vanguard index fund, which is, I, you know, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that, you know, you go one or two, three ways, right? You can put all your money into index funds, put your money into real estate, buy a business or start a business. And you guys have done maybe all three. And I think that's awesome. So, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you would like to mention?
I mean, obviously, I think anyone can be a host and own a property, or even if you do the arbitrage way, you know, mm-hmm. as long as you're doing it correctly, I think it's really good. I think there's a market for everyone to do it. I would definitely encourage young people to, you know, kind of think about investing into real estate or, you know, short-term rentals. I think it's really, you kind of have an edge to you if you do it at an earlier age, just so you kind of get ahead of the game later on. But there's a lot of risk. Be prepared to fail. You're not gonna get a 5-star review. It's not always what it seems. I love that, you know, especially like I watch stuff on TikTok and it's like, you know, these young people are like, buy a property and you'll become a millionaire. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, it's so much work. I don't think people understand like how much time and yeah. money and effort goes into these kinds of things, you know? So
yeah,
I think, you know, you're not making millions of dollars immediately. So, yeah. But there's definitely going to be obstacles. I mean, I say just do it. I mean, what's really, you would, you know, I say you'd probably benefit from it, but
you heard it here. Just do it. Just do it. She stole the Nike phrase and just said, just do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be very smart. And
all right.
I mean, even for people that are older, why not? You know,
why not? Age doesn't matter, mm-hmm. honestly.
It really doesn't. And if you have a passion for it, or even if you don't, you can find somebody that does, and you can create jobs for people. You can have an awesome team and create a passive income, you know?
Absolutely. Let our listeners know if they wanted to reach out to you or find out more about Ashley and Philip, what's the best way for them to do that?
You guys can follow us on Instagram at Peach State Pad, on TikTok at Peach State Pad, and Philip's like remodel business is Phil's Remodeling, if you guys are interested in that,
to see awesome
cool videos. But other than that, Instagram, TikTok, my Etsy is Chappy Creations, Chappi.
We'll put a link to all of those in our show notes, and if you could email that to me, that would be awesome, or send it to me on Instagram, that's cool too. And thanks, Ashley, so much for your time and coming on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I wish you so much success in the future. And, you know, let's stay in touch.
Yes. Thank you, Peter.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.